Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. The message I'm preaching tonight is entitled, What is in Thy Hand? What is in Thy Hand? It's a message I've actually preached before several years ago. But the truth of it tonight is really to gear our minds towards the emphasis of missions in May, and this the thought tonight you'll see as we walk through this passage of Scripture, the intent or my goal, my aim tonight is to help us to understand and to see that you know, when we have an emphasis on missions all through the month and of May, and we're going into our missions conference in June and so on, and all the preaching and all the teaching can be geared toward that thing. But if we don't apply it and make it personal in our own life, then really it's vain, it's empty to us, and it's easy, it's very easy. For a church like ours that's grounded in truth, it's very easy for a church like ours that has an emphasis on preaching the Word of God, on missions, on the salvation of souls, the Great Commission. It's very easy, though, to when we have something like this, it's very easy to sort of dismiss that as somebody else's job or others will do it. Because we all you know function and we all work as a church, and it's so easy to even just get lost in the truth. We know what it is, but having a head knowledge of it is not the same thing as having an application and a heart knowledge of it, where this truth is personal to me. Like this is something God wants out of my life. And so the challenge is, and I want to encourage you tonight as even we walk through this, don't dismiss it as others' job, but make it personal. Apply it personally in my life all through the month of May. God may want to speak to your heart about something particular in personal evangelism, in missions, in something, and take it not as this is just a corporate thing and get lost in the shuffle, but this is what God wants for me personally. Okay, amen? That's what the Word of God is for. So we would be doers of the Word and not hearers only. I want to look at Moses, God's call on his life, the job that God had for him to do. We're going to consider this subject, what is in thy hand? Exodus chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. You know the life of Moses. You know his upbringing. You know how he was a Jew, a Hebrew. He was born into a family that was in slavery and in bondage in Egypt, and yet God saw fit to work providentially in his life to where he was brought up in Pharaoh's own house by Pharaoh's daughter. God worked providentially in all of those things to bring Moses to the place where he could fulfill what God's purpose for his life was. We know that he was out in the desert and he was a shepherd on the backside of the desert after he had killed an Egyptian man and he ran away. And all of that time, God was still working and preparing. And there came a point in time in Moses' life when God had a specific call for him, a job for him to do, and God appeared unto Moses in the burning bush. And Moses' immediate response to the Lord was, I can't. And Moses didn't think that he really had much to offer in the way of serving the Lord, judging by his response to the Lord. But God said to Moses, no, you do have something to offer, Moses. What's in your hand? That was the question that God asked to Moses. What's in your hand? What God was illustrating to Moses wasn't that, Moses, you're something special. Moses, you have all kinds of resources and tools. What God was illustrating to Moses was that God can do anything. All he wants is a willing vessel. He can use anything because it's based on his power and his ability and not our own. And the same thought and principle is what we need to understand today in our service to the Lord and moving forward in our own personal life and in the life of this church, that God can do anything. He just needs willing vessels, tools in his hand. You and I might come to the conclusion that we don't have very much to offer. But that is the attitude and that is the mindset and the heart that will actually hinder the work of God. It's not that God can't do anything and not that he won't. Sometimes it's us in our response to the Lord that keeps the Lord from being able to bless and work the way that he wants to. Now, yes, God can raise up stones unto himself and he can use someone else. But God has chosen to use you and me. This is where we need to make it personal. What is in thy hand? I want to draw out a few principles from this passage. I want you to look in verse 1 first of all, and we see in verse 1 that we are inadequate for the task. In verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses' response here to the Lord was, I'm not adequate for this task that you've given to me. They're not going to believe me. I'm not dynamic enough. I'm not persuasive enough. I don't necessarily have the words to say. They're not going to believe that you sent me. Look at me. Well, we are inadequate for the task, actually. And we'll consider this in just a second. But look back in chapter 3, in verse 1. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he heard, and he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Listen, Moses heard a direct command from the Lord. God gave him a personal call and gave him a responsibility. God commissioned Moses to do a task, and immediately his response was, I can't. The reason that his response was, I can't, was because his eyes were on himself and not on God. God said, I'm going to be with you. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac. I'm the God of everything. He said, I am the self-existent one. And Moses' eyes were only on himself and not on the fact that it was God who was giving him this commission. All he could see was his own inadequacy and his own shortcomings. But then God, in his mercy, gave him some reassurance when he told him in our text, he said, look, I'm the one who's got the power. What's in your hand? Go back over to chapter 4 in verse 3. Verse 2 said, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. In the midst of all of this, God was still merciful to Moses, giving him some reassurance that it's not about you, it's about my power. And he illustrated that by asking Moses, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. Was there something special about the rod that Moses had? I would ask you the question, how many times did God draw attention to and use Moses' rod? Well, we know that Moses' rod ate the snakes before Pharaoh. We know that Moses' rod was instrumental in the crossing of the Red Sea. We know that Moses' rod was used to smite the rock and water would come out. Man, you look at that and you say, man, that's one powerful stick. That's an amazing stick that he had. Wow, that's something special. But you know what? It wasn't something special. It was just a stick. And we see the power of God using just the stick. The stick was just an illustration of the fact that God can use anything that he desires because he's the one with the power. And listen, I would make the application to us tonight. Cannot we trust God and believe that God can do the very same thing with us? I'm not special. I'm just the stick. But it's the power of God that can work through me to accomplish God's will. Listen, we may not think that we have anything special to offer the Lord. But again, God can use anything. He just wants an instrument that's yielded to his will and to his plan. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Paul says, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, and God is the one who has made us able ministers of the gospel of Christ. And I want to challenge you, make this personal, friend, because look, the principle is that God can use anything. Okay, I got that. I got the head knowledge of that. But at what point do we begin to apply this in my own personal life that God can use anything? And God wants to use me to make a difference in someone else's life. God may want you to witness to a particular person, and we automatically, so typically, our flesh says, I can't. God may want you to influence a particular person, and your first thought is, I can't because I'm afraid. Either number one, I don't know what to say, or number two, I'm not sure what they're going to think about me, or number three, you know, that's my boss, or something like that. But God has given us a sphere of influence on purpose that we might be the only person that could ever reach those individuals in that sphere of influence. At what point do we say, God, I want you to use me, Lord, I want to be submitted to your will. Lord, I don't feel adequate for the task, but I know this is not about me. This is about you and your power. Lord, I'll submit and I'll obey. You just lead the way. God may call one to preach or call one to a mission field. But there's resistance because of the thoughts of, I can't. Or I don't want to even. I could never do such a thing. I don't know how that would be possible. I just can't imagine it in my mind. But God can use anything. And He wants to use you and me. And we do need to have the mindset of the Apostle Paul. We're not sufficient as of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. Lord, I'm your servant. Use me how you want. Maybe you can relate to this. I mean, especially when we talk about witnessing to someone, being a true gospel witness to someone. Maybe you can relate here with fears. Maybe you can relate to the fact that, you know, there has been some resistance. Maybe there's been some thoughts, I can't, or I don't know how, or I don't know what to say. Maybe you can relate to some of that. But are you willing to at least submit to the Lord and be a willing vessel and say, Lord, I don't know necessarily what or how, but I know that you've got the power. Just use the feeble words that I'm going to give. Use your word in their life. Show your power. I'll just be the instrument. Moses was inadequate for the task. But the reason that Moses said, I can't, is because his eyes were not on the Lord. His eyes were on himself. And so often that's exactly the same response that we might give. Go back to our text in Exodus chapter 4. And I want you to see this second principle that, yes, we are inadequate for the task, but it's really about the Lord. But secondly, in verses 2 through 5, we're commanded to be faithful stewards of God's things. In chapter 4, again in verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. I would ask, well, the principle here again is we're commanded to be faithful stewards of God's things. But I would ask the questions, whose stick was it really? Who did that stick actually belong to? I mean, what if Moses said to the Lord, when God said, Moses, cast your rod on the ground. What if Moses said, well, no, Lord, that's my rod. I don't want to throw it on the ground. What if Moses said that to the Lord? What if he said, you know what, Lord, I've worked really hard for this rod. It took me a long time to whittle this and get it just how I wanted it. I don't want to throw it on the ground. I mean, I don't want to get it dirty. Or what if Moses said, Lord, this is my favorite rod. You can have some others. I have a few. You want those? But this is my favorite one. I'll get you another one that you can use, God. What if Moses had that kind of response to the Lord? Thank you. Yeah, God was going to teach him a lesson. That's true. If Moses had that kind of response to the Lord, though, it would demonstrate the fact that he was taking personal ownership in something that really wasn't even his to begin with. But so often, that's exactly the way that we respond when it comes to the things that God has blessed us with in our life. We claim ownership over the resources and over the blessings, the material things that God blesses us with. Listen, everything that we have is the Lord's anyway, and should it not then be subject to His use? Oh boy, this is a principle that everyone in this room knows. I am not saying anything brand new, am I? There's a difference, though, between head knowledge and application of the heart. So often that's the response that we would give to the Lord. How useful was Moses' rod when it was in his own hand? God asked him the question, what's in your hand? A rod. How useful was it when it was in his own hand? When did it become something amazing? When he obeyed the command of the Lord and he threw it on the ground. How useful was it when it was in God's hand? Well, the Red Sea was crossed. God used it to smite the rock and water came out. We know the amazing things that God did with it. God used it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times better than Moses ever could. But how about what's in our hand? We've got treasures. We've got material blessings. We've got resources. You know what? We've got some time. God has granted to us time. We've got some abilities, some talents. You know, that's the alliterated outline, the treasures, the time, and the talents. All of those things, though, are given to us by God. They're God's anyway. And the question is, should not they then be available for God to use? Look in Matthew chapter 10 with me. Matthew chapter 10. In verse 38, Matthew 10 and verse 38, the Bible says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Jesus says here, you know, when you, basically the thought and the principle is, when you take ownership of your own life, and I'm going to go about to, you know, my ambitions and my plans, and I'm going to set the goal for my life, and this is what I'm going to do with my life. You go about trying to find your life, you're going to lose it. But he that would lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's shall find it. You know, life is not ever going to be fulfilling. Life is never going to be fully you're never going to be fully content in life if we are not submitted to whatever the will of God is for our life. And find frustration after frustration after frustration. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to our treasures, when it comes to the time that we have, when it comes to the abilities and the talents, none of those things are ours to begin with. And they will only flourish when they're in the hand of God and not our own. No matter what life we try to make for ourselves, it's not going to profit if we're not willing to be faithful to the Lord with it. Let me ask the question. Do you tithe faithfully, regularly? That's a command of the Lord. Do you give to missions above and beyond the tithes? Do you honor Him with your substance? Listen, God doesn't need our money, but He does need our heart. He wants our heart. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How is it that the Lord is able to continue to build His church? How is that the Lord is able to, listen, let me just make it real personal. How was it that the Lord was able to build up a church in North Pole, Alaska? How was it that God was able to strengthen and build and grow this church, and this church began to reproduce itself and send men out to plant and start other churches that can then reproduce themselves? How was it that God was able to do that? It was because of people, men like Pastor Humphrey, who were willing to dedicate their life and their very all and then the time and the talents and the treasures that they have to just give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm a tool. Do with me as you will. And God's will is able to be accomplished. God's power is made manifest. God's ability is demonstrated and seen, all because somebody just said, Lord, it's yours. This is not mine. This life that you have given to me, the days that you have given to me, today, this very day that you have given to me, it's not mine. But you've granted it. Use me. Direct me. Lead me. That's not typically the heart attitude, though. Typically, the heart attitude is, what am I going to do today with my time and my life? Listen, we got to work a job. But even in that, God still wants to use you to serve Him with that job and with your mouth and with your time. It's faithfulness to the Lord. And you and being a willing vessel and a yielded instrument in the hand of a powerful God that makes all the difference. We're commanded, listen, friends, we're commanded to be faithful stewards of God's things. They're not our things. I want you to go back one last time in Exodus chapter 4. I want you to look at the question that God asked Moses, and then we're going to ask ourselves the same question. In verse 2, God and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. But I want to ask this question to you as we close here tonight. What's in your hand? What is in thy hand? We're going to make it personal, all right? In other words, what has God given you? And will you yield it back to Him? What has God given you? Well, you know what? God's given you a mind that works for most of you. God's given you a healthy mind. Things we meditate on. We ought to ask ourselves the question, how can you use me, God? In what way can you use me? Do you ever think that way? Do you ever think that way in terms of being useful to the Lord? Lord, how do you want to use me? I would encourage you, be a thinker. Find creative ways to be effective for the Lord in the life of someone else. Man, we fill up our mind with all kinds of things. But maybe we ought to fill our mind up with, Lord, how can you use me? What do you want to use me for? God's given you a mouth. Do you praise and honor Him with that mouth? Do you testify and witness of the goodness of God with that mouth? Or do you complain about things? We ought to use that for the Lord. Amen? He's given it to us. You've got strength. You've got might. You've got energy, endurance. Some are not as young as they used to be. And we'll talk about that in a second. But for very many, there's youth and there's vigor and there's energy. Listen, it takes some courage, it takes some discipline for a young man to go against the flow and determine that he's going to be different than anybody or everybody else, and he's going to be spiritually minded, and his focus is not going to be on himself, but on how God can use my life. It takes some courage for a young man to do that. He's got some time. Maybe he's got some resources at his disposal. Instead of squandering that on self, Lord, how can you use this? We've got material possessions. We can read in Malachi chapter 3 how God said to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And God said to prove me, test me, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive it. Yeah. But how often do we hoard those resources rather than just say, Lord, they're yours? Honestly, let me be honest with you. I look at the giving statements every year. And I know and I see. I'm aware. And there's sometimes, folks, when I'm completely amazed at what God does through some of you and how you can give so liberally and how God just sustains you and God gives you more so that you can keep on giving. Amen! What a blessing! It's a challenge and it's even convicting to me sometimes and it's amazing! But other times it's not that way. But when God gives us material possessions, God doesn't intend for us to hoard them and use them for self. May we have the heart and the mind that it belongs to the Lord anyway, and it's available for Him to use. I would give it another M here. What's in your hand? What has God given you? Well, sometimes we have maladies. Sickness, weakness. Sometimes we have things that come into our life that they're not fun. You know, you ever met one of those people? They're like, you walk up to him, he's like, hey, how you doing? How's it going? How are you? And the person's response is like, oh, I'm so sick and I'm getting sicker all the time. And then they go into this laundry list of all of the things that are ailing them. You just start to feel really sick and weak yourself just listening to them talk. Well, you know what? I would encourage you, don't be that person. Instead of complaining about what's going on in your life, how about trusting God that He actually has a plan for it and wants to use it to glorify Himself in your life? Sometimes what's in your hand is maturity, old age. You know, old age doesn't mean stop serving the Lord. Be a good steward of what God has given you. Share your wisdom. Share your experience. Continue finding how the Lord might still use you to bring glory to Him, even in old age. And sometimes we've got mistakes. You know, the school of hard knocks, as they say, can be a great teacher. Other people can benefit from our transparency and our humility, even in mistakes that we make. Listen, it wasn't even that long ago that this sort of thing even revealed itself in my own life. Having to talk about mistakes of the past actually can be something that is helpful and encouraging to other people. First of all, we need to admit that there are mistakes. But you know what? When you say, hey, listen, I messed up in my life in this area, but I've learned a better way from the Lord. Let me help you with this. That can be something that God can use. Even our failures and even our mistakes can be used of God if we'll just learn to be yielded and faithful to the Lord. But so often people are like, oh man, I've messed my life up. I've made mistakes, and they feel, I can't do anything. I'm useless for the Lord. Well, when our eyes are on ourselves, yes, we're useless. But when we realize that God can use anything, and I've learned some things, and I submit that to the Lord, we can become very useful. You know, Moses said, I can't, because all he could see at the time was himself. God can and will do great things with us, through us, in us, if we'll just yield to Him and be faithful to Him, because it's about Him and not us. You know what? As time passes in your life and you look back over all the things, When you just yield yourself to the Lord, and this is my mind and this is my heart, and I live every day, I'm just yielding myself to the Lord. As time passes and you grow in the Lord, you know what? You can look back over all the years of just being faithful and yielding to the Lord, and you can look and see of all the amazing things that God has done in your life. Amen. I've been saved for 24 years, and I can't even believe what I am today compared to what I was when God saved me. Not that it's something special, but I can point to you time and time and time and time again all the things that God has done in my own life. And I look back over the years and I say, wow, I'm amazed at what God has done. I think that we can similarly look back on all that God has done through Plaque Road Baptist Church over the years. And we can give Him glory for that. But you know what? We need to be moving forward. What does God want to do? To glorify Himself in the future of Plaque Road Baptist Church. What's it going to take? It's going to take people who are just willing and yielded instruments for the Lord to use. But you've got to make it personal. You've got to apply it in your own life. Lord, what do you want in my life? Lord, tune my heart, my thinking, my mind. How do you want to use me? And just settle this in your own life. It's yours anyway, Lord. Just take it and use it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have this heart and this mind. You've granted life, you've granted time, you've given resources, you've given us talents. But all those things don't belong to us. They really belong to you. And we could ask the question, what's in my hand? What have you given to me that you want to use? And may our heart be, Lord, just all of me. And I don't have anything special to offer, but I know that you're a powerful God and you've chosen to glorify yourself in the life of your servant. And so, Lord, I'm yours. And Lord, I pray that this would be something that's resonating in our hearts and our minds each day. That we would be doers of the word, not hearers only. Not dismiss these kinds of truths as if they're for other people, but Lord, to make them personal and to ask the question, Lord, how do you want to use me? Lord, I pray that you would begin to work in us, Lord, to draw us close to you, to revive us, renew our thinking. Father, as we move forward day by day in our personal life, in the life of this church, Lord, that we just be able to see evidence of the hand of God working mightily among us for the glory of the Lord. And like you did with Moses, that they would believe that you're sent from God. Lord, that we would have that kind of an impact on our community, on people, in our influence, sphere of influence. Lord, that people would come to know you as their personal Savior because of you working mightily through yielded vessels. Thank you for the time here tonight. Lord, thank you for your people. Challenge us, strengthen us, and use us. In Jesus' name, amen.